Good morning, friends. It's good to be with you. Been away for a few weeks. I had the difficult privilege of going overseas to do some lecturing, and it's just great to be back here. It'd be great to be back with you and obviously with folk in Benoni. You are obviously not the cyclists, so it's particularly good to be with you. I know that you've been on a four-week journey here at Mosaic in terms of your journey outwards into the world, how we are the hands and the feet of Christ. And I would like to build on that theme today, I hope in a helpful way. And I'm going to share with you a reading. It comes from Exodus chapter 4, and it comes right in the middle of Moses' story. God calls Moses, you may remember that, and then Moses really begins to wrestle with God, and God asks him one question. So a very short reading from Exodus, if you would like to follow me as I just read it from the screen, Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Moses answered, this is just after God has called him. Moses answered, "What if they do not believe me or listen to me? And what if they say, 'The Lord did not appear to you?'" And then the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. And so we thank God for that moment in Moses' life and that encounter that he had with God. And we pray that through that very simple encounter that God will speak to each one of us this morning. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but if you read the Bible very, very carefully, you don't only come across God's answers. Now, there are some wonderful answers in the Bible. Don't misunderstand me. Some wonderful, wonderful answers to some of the deepest, deepest issues of human life. But you don't only find God's answers in the Bible. You also find God's questions. And if you were to read the Bible very carefully, right from Genesis onwards, God is constantly asking questions. Constantly asking us questions. And I've been learning in my own devotions, in my own life of faith, that as I take God's questions seriously, when I engage those questions, God is able to do something very deep in my life. And I'm hoping that's going to happen today. The question that we're going to look at comes from the life of Moses. Now, you know the story, and I'm just going to take you through it very, very quickly. Moses has been looking after sheep for over 40 years, and one day he's looking after sheep, a bush burns. A bush burns. Now, I want to suggest today that a burning bush is any experience through which God speaks to us. You've had burning bushes. I've had burning bushes. You have a conversation with someone, and as you're talking, suddenly that conversation burns with God's presence. And it's almost as if God is speaking to you in that conversation. I'm sure you've had that experience. Or you're reading a book or watching a movie. And suddenly, it's not just an ordinary book or an ordinary movie. And it burns with God's presence. God's speaking to you. God's knocking on the door of your heart, trying to get your attention. Or maybe you go through a very difficult experience. This week I was with a man who had a heart attack. Out of the blue. And he says to me, you know, I think God is talking to me through this experience about my way of life and about my lifestyle. It's a burning bush. It can even happen here on a Sunday. I'm preaching my heart out, you're just about to fall asleep, and suddenly God takes one of my human words and it burns with God's presence, and you know God is talking to me. That's a burning bush. And Moses has his burning bush. The bush burns, and you know what happens. Moses goes across to have a look, and through that burning bush, God calls him to do something very special. And in effect, God says to Moses, Moses, I'm looking for some human partners, and I want you to become my partner in bringing about the divine dream here on earth. You're my man. And do you remember that as soon as God calls Moses, what does Moses do? As soon as God calls him, what does Moses do? He begins to make excuses. One of the surest signs that God is calling you to do something is you begin to make excuses. I made a list of the excuses. If you read Exodus chapter 3 and 4 very carefully, there are 5 excuses that Moses makes. And I just want to run through them very quickly. They're going to come up on the screen. Notice whether these are any of your excuses. The first one comes up, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? In other words, God, I'm nobody. I really am nobody. Who am I to do this? Have you ever used that as an excuse? Look at the second one. It's going to come up. Moses said to God, suppose I go, what am I going to tell them? How exactly do you want me to go about this? I'm not sure. Look at the third excuse. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? What happens if they resist me? What happens if I don't get this right? Look at the fourth excuse. Pardon your servant, Lord. I'm slow of speech and tongue. I don't have the ability. I don't have the gifts. I don't have what it takes. But I love the last excuse. Look at it, the fifth one. Pardon your servant, Lord. Will you please send someone else? Huh? Those 5 excuses. I call that the Moses wriggle. Moses is always trying to duck and dive. I think it's the favorite dance here at Mosaic. The Moses wriggle. 5 excuses. Hey, I'm nobody. I don't have what it takes. What happens if I fail? How am I going to do it? Please send someone else. And then, in the midst of all these excuses, God asks a question. And this is the question that I want to put at the center of our worship today. God asks Moses one question. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Because I want to use that, Moses. I want to use that. Reminds me of that story in the New Testament in John chapter 6. You remember when Jesus is facing this group of people who are very hungry, and there's a little boy and he's got his lunchbox and he's got a few loaves and a few fishes. That's all he's got in his hand. And he brings those loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus takes what he's got in his hand and uses it in a miraculous way to bring blessing to this group of people who are very, very hungry. And that's what God does again and again and again. If we can just bring what's in our hands, just bring what's in our hands, God, and offer it to God, God will use what we bring and will use it in a way that is miraculous. When we offer to God what's in our hands, listen carefully, we step into the world of miracle. Can I suggest a few things that we've all got in our hands today, right now? Just a few things. Every one of us in this auditorium can do something well. Every one of us. Every one of us can do something well. Now, I know there's a lot of discussion in Christian teaching between the difference between spiritual gifts and natural talents. And there are some distinctions. But they also have got something in common. Both of them come from God, Creator God. And God has given every one of us something that we're good at. And when we're able to offer that to God, consciously, intentionally, deliberately, God takes what we offer and uses it in a way that surprises us and blesses others. Let me tell you a story. I was in my early 20s and I was working at Firestone in Port Elizabeth. And I went on a course. And on this course, we had to do one of those affirmation exercises supposed to build you up. And you sat with your colleagues and then you had to identify what your colleagues could do well. And I was with three other guys. We went to the first guy, we affirmed him. I don't remember the exact details. He was really good in terms of vision. He could plan. We went to the second guy. He was excellent with people skills. He could delegate. He could form a team. We looked at the third guy. We affirmed him. He was great with his financial ability. He could think financially. And they came to me. Chupstall. Chupstall. Not a sound. Now, this is an affirmation exercise. Supposed to build you up. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. And then the first guy says, you know, Trevor, I've known you for a few years. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. You can listen a bit. Second guy. Hey, Trevor, I don't know, man. You can listen a bit. Now, this is an affirmation exercise. I'm feeling more and more depressed as this exercise proceeds. Third guy. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. You can listen a bit. I go home that night thoroughly, thoroughly depressed. I still remember kneeling at the side of my bed and saying to God, God, I want to give you a little gift that I think I may have. It's called listen a bit. And I want to give it to you, God. And I forgot all about it. The next year, I left Firestone and I decided to give a year of my life in service. And I came up to Boksburg and Reicher Park and I worked as a community worker. It was a very dark time in our history. And I remember, and I had a lot to do with a minister at Boksburg Methodist Church, Paul Welsh. And I watched Paul at work. And as I watched him, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a pastor like Paul. It was like something began to burn in me. And I remember going to him one afternoon and I said, Paul, I think God is calling me to be a pastor, but I don't have the gifts. And Paul looked at me and said, you don't have the gifts, Trevor, but you can listen a bit. And that's what I brought in my hand. That's all I could offer. And God takes what we bring and then uses it in a way that blesses others and surprises us. In this auditorium right now, can you imagine the giftedness and the ability and the talent that is just lying dormant here? Medical ability, legal, educational, nursing, actuarial, accounting, financial, mechanical, electrical, artistic, IT, cooking. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? Make it available to God today. Say to God, I'm bringing you this and I want to offer it to you and I want to work in partnership with you. And as I offer this gift, God, will you use it not only to bless my life, will you use it to bless others? What's in your hand? Can I tell you, we've got something else in our hands. All of us have got some weaknesses. Our weaknesses. Have you got any weaknesses? You know, when you read the Bible, you discover something wonderful about God. God is a God of great power. Great power. We see that power best when He raises Jesus from the dead. God is a God of power, but God's power is revealed in human weakness. That's where God's power gets displayed. It's when I own my weakness and I bring my weakness to God, and then God uses it. God's power is revealed in weakness. Look at the cross next time. Look at the cross. Christ on the cross. What a picture of weakness. What a picture of strength. You know who knew this well was Paul the Apostle. We know that he wasn't a great speaker. He wasn't an imposing figure. We know that. And yet God used Paul incredibly. Incredibly. In his weakness, in his fear, in his anxiety. And he writes these words, and I want you to look at them very carefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Look at these words that Paul writes. He says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. God uses our weakness. Now, I don't know you well enough to reveal to you all my weaknesses. But when I look back over the years, God has used my weakness far more than my strengths. I think of two of my weaknesses. I think of my shyness. Sometimes I find this kind of thing terrifying. I find going into groups of people very scary. And yet God calls me to be a pastor. Can you believe it? Huh? But I look over the years as I've offered this shyness sometimes to God, how God uses it. When I go into a group now, I'm always aware of people who are on the outside because I know what that's like. I know when someone is not fitting in. I know when someone feels a bit excluded. It's a sensitivity, and it's come through my own experience. Does that make sense? I think of my battle with addiction. I've told you this before, struggled with gambling from the age of 18 to 30. The deceit, the secrecy, terrible. Until I hit rock bottom. I've got to watch my addictive character. I think one of my addictions at the moment is a bit of an addiction to sometimes work and ministry. But I see how God has used my capacity to sometimes get addicted, this weakness in my own character at times. And somehow I can connect with people who get addicted. And I've watched how God has done that over the years, helping me to relate to folk who are addicted. To find a way through addiction. It's my weakness. What's your weakness? What's your weakness? Offer it to God. God wants to use it so that we can also say, I will delight in my weaknesses because I'm weak. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I experience God's power. But there's one more thing that God uses. Every one of us has it. God uses our pain and our suffering and our heartache and our heartbreak. Every one of us in this auditorium brings to God tears, human tears. Every one of us sits next to a pool of tears. I've said that many times. And it's when I make my tears available to God, when I share with God my heartache, my heartbreak, when I allow God to meet me in my pain, in my suffering, what God does again and again is that God recycles my pain and recycles my suffering so that it can become a blessing to other people. God does that again and again and again. I was watching TV this week and there was this clip on this guy down in Cape Town. 2006, I think his name was Ashmat Hassim. He lost his leg to an attack by a great white shark. And now he travels the world. And he's trying to fight for the conservation of the great white shark. It's an endangered species. And out of his own trauma of losing a leg, now he's become a partner with God in conserving creation, doing God's work, looking after God's creatures. I think of Norma and Ivan, a couple on the East Rand, who have three children and two of them profoundly mentally handicapped. And I remember walking with them through their heartache and their heartbreak and how they offered that pain and those tears to God and how they started a ministry to other parents with handicapped children. And God took what was in their hand. I think of Oom Niels. You prayed for him last week as he battles with MNS. He's been your pastor for 15 years. Let me tell you something. As he offers his pain to God and his suffering, let me tell you, his ministry in this place will get deeper and deeper and deeper. That's what God does with us. When we bring what's in our hands, what do you have in your hands today? What do you have? We've all got something we can do well, even if it's just to listen a bit. We've all got weaknesses, things we don't do well, things where we are weak, where we are limited. And we've all got tears. And God is looking for partners, human partners, looking for people like you and me to bring blessing and healing into this world. And He asks us one question: what is in your hand? What is in your hand? Can I read to you something that I wrote? I don't want to call it a poem. That makes it sound a bit larny. Let me just read it to you. And I wrote this after I reflected on the story of Moses. The Lord said to me, "Go." And I said, "Who, me?" And God said, "Yes, you." And I answered, "I feel inadequate. I don't have the gifts. I don't know enough." And the Lord said, "You are stalling." The Lord said, "Go." And I said, "But what happens if I fail? I don't have what it takes. What will others say? Send someone else." And the Lord said, "Stop wriggling." The Lord said, "Go." And I said, "But I'm on my own. Who will help me? It's too scary." And the Lord said, "Do you think I'll be far away?" And the Lord said, "Go." And I shrugged and I said, "Okay, Lord, have it your way. Here I am. Send me. Here I am." send me. Let's pray together. God, you are looking for men and women who will be your human partners in bringing healing and blessing into this world and into the painful lives of human beings. You come to us today and you ask us the same question that you asked Moses centuries ago. What do you have in your hands? Lord, help us to stop making excuses. Help us to bring what we've got in our hands, to offer it to you, our strengths, our abilities, our talents, our weaknesses, our limitations, and especially our pain and our suffering today, we bring to you. And we ask God that, like you took that lunchbox of that young little boy, a few loaves and a few fishes, that you will take what we offer to you today and that you will use what we offer, that with you we may step into a world of miracle. This is our prayer. And we offer it to you with all the love and all the longing of our hearts. In the name of Christ our Lord and all of God's people said together, Amen. May the joy of Christ be with you. God bless you, friends. Take care. Amen.